Hi, Dave McVeigh here to present this special interview with Morgan Spurlock, the documentarian behind such films as Super Size Me and Where in the World is Osama Bin Laden? His new documentary, Palm Wonderful Presents the Greatest Movie Ever Sold, a film all about product placement in cinema, is about to hit cinemas here in Australia. And thanks to Shauna and Nixco, we got a chance to catch up with Morgan Spurlock via phone for about 15 minutes or so of questions for our League of Bloggers. The League consists of SpotlightReport.net, that's Jorge Duran, Richard Gray from TheRealBits.com, Dave Longo from DamnGoodCup.com, and of course myself for GeekActually.com. It was a really interesting and fun 15 minutes. You'll hear that the questions actually come from all of the League, various League members. And so without further ado, let's just get on with this and have a listen, because it is really, really good. And especially, he answers a few questions for aspiring filmmakers, which I think would help a lot for those who want to get started in this industry as well. So once again, I want to thank the League members for submitting their questions. I want to thank Shauna and Nixco for setting this up for us. And here's the interview.
Hey, how are you?
Hey, Morgan, it's a real pleasure to get to speak to you.
Likewise.
I was hoping to speak to you in person today, but a few things got in the way.
Oh, no worries. It's all good.
That's good. Look, we just want to talk to you a little bit about your new film, Palm Wonderful Presents, the greatest movie ever sold.
Perfect.
My name is David McVeigh. I represent GeekActually.com. But today I'm actually representing what we call the League. It's actually a conglomerate of a few independent bloggers.
Okay.
Those include Richard Gray from TheRealBits.com, Jorge Duran from SpotlightReport.net, and David Longo from DamnGoodCup.com. So the questions have come from all four of us.
Great.
Okay. All right, so shall we get started?
Yes, sir.
First question comes from Richard over at TheRealBits.com. He says, what attracts you to the documentary form?
You know, for me, I loved, after Super Size Me, you know, I kind of loved what I personally, as a person, just kind of got out of that whole experience. You know, I loved this film that explored the truth in a very different and exciting way. And for me, that's what documentaries should do. They should get people thinking about our world, about problems, about situations, and seeing this truth in a very different kind of environment. So I think that for me, that's what gets me excited is, you know, getting people thinking in a different way.
Fantastic. As a sub question, have you ever thought about branching into fiction, or are you really set in documentaries?
No, I would love to do fiction films. You know, that's for years what I wanted to do. You know, when I was studying, when I was a young, starry-eyed, you know, film student at NYU. You know, that's what I wanted to do, was make scripted films. And I started off working as a PA and as a schlep in scripted movies, and started writing plays in my 20s because I couldn't get movies made because it was so hard to raise money. So, you know, at some point, I would love to go into narrative films. And you know, there's a couple projects that I'm attached to, but, you know, as you know, I'm sure plenty of people tell you, it's tough to find money. It's tough to put deals together. You know, the film business is hard.
Well, we can see that in your new film as well.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly. Yeah, this film even more obvious, right?
Absolutely. Next question actually comes from me, and I actually watched all three of your documentaries in a row last night. I've seen them before, but of course I watched them just to get ready for this. And I was looking at these films, and it just occurred to me that you appear to seem fearless. You sacrificed your health in Super Size Me. You went to some pretty hair-raising places in Where in the World is Osama Bin Laden, and now you just jump in and try and convince advertisers to sponsor a film that, you know, could potentially expose all the dirty secrets of advertising in the new film. And
right.
I guess I have to ask the question is, what scares Morgan Spurlock?
Unemployment. Being an American, unemployment these days. I think what scares me the most. I mean, I think I'm more scared of just like simple situations. You know, those are the things that I find things that like this. These movies, they aren't nearly as scary as you know going to meet your girlfriend's parents for the first time. So, you know, those are much more scary things, I think, than the stuff that I tackle even in these films.
Oh my God, I remember that moment too.
That is a scary moment, man.
Those are
real scary moments.
Yeah. Next question here comes from Jorge at thespotlightreport.net, and he says, "What advice would you give to young filmmakers who want to touch similar topics such as facing mega corporations or even governments?"
Yeah, I mean, the biggest thing I tell young filmmakers all the time is that no matter what it is, like if you want to make those types of projects, it's got to be something that you are really dedicated to. Like you can't be making because you think, this is a great film that I'll be able to sell. I feel like you have to understand that, this is a business, but at the same time, especially when you're making documentary films, is that you have to love this movie. You have to love this story that you're telling. This is going to be your baby probably for the next 2+ years because it's a very long process, arduous process of making docs. So you better love that baby, you know, warts and all, you better love that baby. And especially what you also have to do is you have to be very thick-skinned. You have to be tenacious. I tell filmmakers all the time is that, you know, this is a tough business to find your way in. And the key is not quitting. You know, the key is not giving up, because if you pound the pavement long enough, if you have an idea that you love, you're going to find somebody who will give you the money for that film. There's somebody out there who has a complete alignment of ideologies who would love to write you a check. You just have to find them.
Just on that note, the way you were saying you have to keep going and be tenacious, I was noticing when I was watching The Greatest Movie Ever Sold, you show a few rejections at the beginning of the film where, you know, people are saying no to you and so forth. And outside of what we see on screen, I can only assume that that was a much longer process than we actually saw in the film.
Yeah, I called over 600 brands. It was about 650, I'm guessing, to sponsor the film, of which, you know, what is it, 98.5% of them said no. We ended up with 22 sponsors of the film. And that was that process. I started calling in January of 2009. The first company, the banned deodorant meeting, was in September of 2009.
Wow.
So that was 9 months of phone calls and cold calls and rejections and phone calls and cold calls, rejections, on and on and on for 9 months.
So how long can you keep that process going before you basically say, I have to give this up, it's not going to work?
I mean, we were giving ourselves a year.
Right.
If originally we said we're going to give ourselves, because when we first started, we were such idiots. You know? You're like, oh, it's going to be so easy. People are going to just jump at the chance to give us money. It's going to be great. You know, in 2 months, we'll be shooting the film. 2 months went by. At that point, every agency that we called said no, and every product placement company had said no. And that was the point where we said, you know what, we should start calling the companies ourselves. So then I said, okay, we're going to start calling the companies. We'll give ourselves 2 more months. You know, by April or by the end of April, we're going to be shooting this thing. It's going to be great. End of April came. And at that point, you know, a couple hundred companies had said no. And we're like, well, those were only the top tier companies. We haven't even gotten to the second tier companies. So we started calling the second tier. 2 more months, you know, like that. And it just, we kept just kept pushing it and pushing it. And we went through the A tier, B tier, C tier of companies. And finally, it was just like, okay, whoever's left over, we're going to call them. We're giving ourselves to the end of the year. And it was long.
Well, Jorge at the Spotlight Report actually wants to know, did you try and call McDonald's for this film?
Absolutely. We had to. You know, it's like the goal was to make a blockbuster, a documentary blockbuster, a docbuster. And so if you're going to have a blockbuster film, you got to have a fast food partner. That's just one of the categories you have to fill. And so, you know, I called them, and I called them again, and I called them again, and I left a message again and again. And like, I've got a great relationship with McDonald's. I call them, they never call me back. It works out really well.
Oh, that's good. There's no arguments then.
It's so funny, you know, and I would leave messages for them to call me, and they ultimately just never even returned the phone call. But there were countless other brands, you know, that did, you know, Burger King, Taco Bell, KFC, all of whom said no, they wanted nothing to do with the film. And it was out of those rejections for all the fast food companies that I said, well, you know what we need? We need a collector cup. We need a Big Gulp or a Slurpee. We got to call 7-Eleven. So then that was the next step, was calling those people, the convenience stores.
Right.
And then we ended up finding, you know, Sheetz.
Right, right. And they were really good for you too, weren't they? I mean, I love all the little inserts where you're standing by the pumps and everything.
it's like the fact that, like, we were, you know, the contract things that we had to do there, like I had to get gas there, you know, I had to see me in the store, I had to do an interview there, like all those things I thought were so good. And the fact that, like, this movie came out, you know, when this movie came out in the United States, there were Greatest Movie Ever Sold collector cups, you know, like at all their locations across America. I mean, it was crazy.
So Damn Good Cup, this is Dave Longo at Damn Good Cup, wants to know, when you're making a documentary like this one, and I guess like all of your documentaries, really, you can't always be sure of what narrative you're going to get out of this. So at what point in the filming of this film did you realize that you had a story that would work as a feature film?
I mean, you usually don't know. And I mean, with all of our projects, you know, it's like, I never know how things are going to end. I usually start with A and I say, okay, we're going to spin the top at A and see where it goes. You know, that's what happened with, you know, Super Size Me, with Where in the World, you know, with this, you know, with our episodes of 30 days, you know, you kind of know the environment people are getting into, but you don't know where it's going to end up. And I mean, that's an exciting and incredibly frightening way to make a movie. Because ultimately you don't know if you're going to have like a real story by the time it's all done. And with this film, we were probably about if the first brand came on in September, it was probably another 9 months after that. I would say by the following July, by the following like June or July, was when we said, "Wow, we have a real So we had a real solid hour of the film at that point. We didn't have the kind of the climax in the rest of the movie yet, but right. We kind of had a real sense of direction.
Oh, that's fantastic. So it actually falls together. It actually did fall together relatively quickly.
Yeah, it was really quickly. From the time we were getting the money and kind of, you know, locking down all those sponsorships, and then in real time, we were just, you know, shooting all of the other supporting bits. Yeah.
Fantastic. So Richard at The Real Bits wants to know that after making this film in particular and seeing how pervasive the advertising is, do you think it's possible to ever have a truly independent movie?
You know, that's a really good question. I think that the one thing that this film did do, you know, especially now, there were so many companies that wouldn't deal with us because they were so afraid of their association with, you know, an independent film, a low-budget film, a documentary film. You know, what's going to be interesting to see now is as filmmakers who are making independent films, are brands going to say, you know what, we'll give $25,000 to that, you know, $1 million movie to put a car in there, you know, that or something, you know, will this type of, you know, funding source start to open up to low budget filmmakers? That's going to be interesting to see. So the question is, will it kind of survive on beyond this? I think there will be people who make independent film outside of ever even thinking about dealing with this. Hmm. But I think there will be some people now who will start to benefit from that. I really believe it.
Did you get to keep the Mini at the end? That's what I want to know.
Absolutely. It's in my garage back in New York.
Is it still covered in all the branding?
Yeah, of course it is.
Fantastic.
You know, it's like, how could I be out promoting this movie and not have that car still covered in all the logos?
It's a brilliant car.
Oh, cheers.
All right, so I guess we have to ask, Richard and I were both very curious about this, which is, what's next for Morgan Spurlock? How's the Comic-Con film coming along?
It's great. We're in the process of finishing it right now. I just watched a cut of the movie, the latest cut that I gave notes on before I left New York. So I just downloaded it, watched it last night, gave notes on it. So we'll have that done within, I'd say, the next 6 weeks.
Right.
And it should be hopefully kind of out and making its way into the marketplace by the fall.
Fantastic. That's great. Will it have product placement in it?
Well, you know, if anybody's ever seen Comic-Con is chock full of product placement, whether you like it or not.
I'm thinking more.
There may not be paid product placement, but there's plenty of product placement.
I was thinking more like having the palm bottles on the table during everything.
Yeah, right, exactly. No, but we got plenty of like DC Comics and Marvel Comics in there. So plenty of toys and action figures. So I'm sure Mattel and Hasbro and Lego and all those folks are going to be happy.
Fantastic. Well, I want to say thank you very much for joining us. Oh, actually, I have one more question for you very quickly.
Sure.
After Super Size Me, McDonald's went through damage control, as we all know, and they changed their menus. And, you know, they say that wasn't because of your film, but they did lots of damage control.
That's right.
What outcomes would you like to see because of the greatest story ever sold?
You know, what I think this movie – I tell you, here's one of the things I loved out of Super Size Me is, you know, I love that, you know, these things, you know, kind of happened in and around the industry that had nothing to do with the film whatsoever. And it was a coincidence. That's all great. But the greatest thing that I think happened with Super Size Me was the way that it affected individuals. I meet people all the time who literally pull pictures out of their wallets, you know, that show me, like, this was me before I saw your film a year ago. I weighed 400 pounds, and these people are all in shape now. Mm-hmm. I meet teachers who show it to their kids in their classrooms, you know, on a yearly basis. I meet doctors who prescribe that movie to their patients to watch. I've met parents who, after seeing that film, said, we're going to make it a point to cook at home and actually eat as a family. You know, that's the way that it impacted individuals and empowered individuals to want to make change, I thought was the greatest thing. Mm. So with the greatest movie ever sold, what I would love to see happen, and what I think does happen, is people who watch this film never look at Hollywood movies, or you can't look at a Hollywood movie the same way again. Like, you basically will see and dissect all of that product placement and marketing that's in the film. You'll dissect all that marketing that's in television shows. You'll see it all. And you'll even start to look at the advertising that's in your neighborhood as you walk down the street a little differently. And I think that level of empowerment and knowledge and kind of eye-opening relevance to what's happening around you is a great tool to be armed with. So for me, what I would really love to see happen is that people, through this kind of knowledge and this awakening that comes out of seeing this film, is that they start to kind of re-examine the choices they make, their shopping habits, why they buy, what do they do, and ultimately maybe it'll start to curb some of those some of those desires.
So it really is about self-awareness and just kind of
the greatest thing Super Size Me did was create a tremendous amount of self-awareness in people, and I hope this film does the same thing.
That's great. That's fantastic. All right, well, thank you very much for joining me. I know you were really pushed for time, so I'll let you go.
Yeah, no worries. It's my pleasure. I'm glad we're able to squeeze it in.
So on behalf of the entire league, I want to say thank you very much, and I hope the rest of your time in Australia is good.
I appreciate it. Thank you. Take care.
Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, so I hope you all go running out right now to see Palm Wonderful Presents The Greatest Movie Ever Sold, because it is a lot of fun, and Morgan Spurlock just has a lot of charisma. He does everything with a lot of good humor, so it is well worth having a look at. I want to thank Morgan once again for his time, because he is a very busy man at the moment with the junket going on for this film. I also want to thank Shauna and Harriet over at Nixco for organizing the interview with us, and I want to thank Jorge Duran at SpotlightReport.net for really driving to get this interview happening. He was really the soul behind this. We should thank our other league members as well, which of course is Richard Gray over at TheRealBits.com and Dave Longo over at DamnGoodCup.com. If you have any questions or comments on this that you would like to send to us, you can send that to feedback@geekactually.com. And reminding you that you can also catch our regular Film Actually podcast, which comes out on iTunes every Monday, or you can catch it live at geekactually.com/live every Saturday. In the meantime, I want you all to go out and see the movie, and we'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye. You can now hear Film Actually on Stitcher Radio. Stitcher allows you to listen to your favorite shows directly on your iPhone, Android, BlackBerry, or WebOS device. The latest episode is always available for you. No syncing needed, no memory wasted. Don't have Stitcher? Download it for free today at Stitcher.com.